LSU, Raging Cajuns, putting in the work, putting in the game plan, preparing for conference championship matchups. We'll get to know the foes. We'll get to know the Georgia Bulldogs and App State inside the program. LSU basketball back on the hardwood tonight against the UNO Privateers. Head coach Mark Schlesinger will join us for a preview. And the Saints got another little break last night when the Seahawks beat the Vikings. Now the number one seed, can they hold on to it? These stories and more coming your way today, Tuesday, December the 3rd, 2019.
Yeah, it's always tough because, you know, when you play a team the next year that beat you twice, the last year before that, you know, you got a chip on your shoulder. So, you know, you feel some type of way out there on the field and, you know, you're playing with a lot of emotion and you're really giving everything you got and fall short again. You know, it hurt a little bit, but that also lets you know that you still got room for improvement. No matter how good you might have gotten from the last time you played them or just from the week before, you can always get better.
I ain't thinking about it. I'm not buying into that at all. We got to win. I don't know if we got to win to get in the playoffs or not. That's not it. I'm not even talking about that. Our goal is to beat Georgia and win the SEC, and then let's see what happens. So that's not coming into play. We're not talking about that, and we're not even considering it right now.
Shotgun snap, drops back three, sets, looks, throws a pass, batted down, batted again, deflected, and picked up on the play. It's intercepted by Minnesota's Anthony Harris. He'll run it in on the ricochet. Touchdown, Vikings. Batted twice on the ricochet. Intercepted. Touchdown, Minnesota.
Nothing worse for a quarterback when that ball gets tipped up in the air. You can't wait till it finds the turf. And as you said, tipped once, banged by Russell Wilson as he tried to get up there and knock it down to the turf. He's the one that knocked it back up in the air. Then Harris comes running under it for the easy pick and score.
Crazy game to wrap up week 13 of the NFL. 37-30, Seattle with the win. And because the Seahawks won, the Saints are the number one seed in the NFL, and the 49ers drop all the way down to number five. We'll talk all about that and much, much more today. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome. This is the Jordy Health Perk Show, 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com, brought to you by ShopRite Tobacco Plus Discount Outlets. You can't shop right at ShopRite, dude. You just can't shop right at all. Conference championship games on the line, and we got you covered from A to Z, starting off with the Raging Cajuns as they met with the media. And Kevin Dotson, playing App State again, talked about the keys to getting a win finally against these guys.
We have to come in with the right same mindset, but with a different work ethic. It's going to be one of those things where you got to do the little extra during film sessions. So I can say that we play hard. We usually do what we're supposed to do, but sometimes they'll send some things that we weren't going over or we didn't go over. So you want to be able to look at the stuff on film. You want to be able to recognize stuff without coaches having to tell you.
No question. Billy Napier, when talking about App State, they know App State. App State knows the Raging Cajuns. So this ain't checkers, baby. This is a chess match.
Yeah, I mean, it's the right mix of, you know, you took some things away from them last time. You know what? You know, there's always a little bit of a chess match relative to, what you had success with, and maybe what you didn't have success with. The right mix of those things. You know, but I think both teams have got a good identity. You know, I think that's one of the reasons we're in the championship game. We kind of know who we are. That they very much do, and I think we do too. And it's going to come down to players making plays, players executing in critical moments, effort, strain, fundamentals, good decision making, great communication. And that's what we're going to spend our time on.
All right, spend your time on communicating, getting ready to go. Bam Jackson, though, short and sweet, said his feelings about this time against App State.
And don't get me wrong, those guys, that's a great team. That's call it spade a spade. Those guys are good. So, you know, for them to have that ranking, that's big. That's big for me because it says that's a challenge. Because why not us? Why not the Raging Cajuns? Because, we put in the same work. We fell to them by 10, but we got something fun coming up Saturday.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Bam. Eliah Drinkwitz, in his first year as the head coach of the Mountaineers of App State, talked about how far the Cajuns have come this year.
Well, I think I saw where it's the first time in school history that they've won 10 games, which is an incredible accomplishment, and a hats off to not only their coaching staff but their seniors and juniors for buying into the culture that Coach Napier is trying to produce. I think you see a team that, again, believes in its coaches. I know that they were disappointed with our loss, but we're able to bounce back. I think they've won 6 straight, and so they're a good football team that it's on a mission, and it's going to be 2 good football teams playing on Saturday, and it's going to be a great football game. It's going to be cold and all kinds of weather, so it'll be a good old-fashioned December championship game.
In Boone, North Carolina, 11 o'clock kickoff, and we'll have much more on that game. We'll have much more on the LSU Tigers. But Ed Orgeron said something funny when asked about, he got the job. He brought in this notebook, this folder with all kinds of information on it. And when asked about that folder, this is what Ed had to say Monday at his press conference.
First of all, I got to be honest, Big Ed. Derek and Austin made that button. I don't know what the hell was in there, man. But it looked good, I'll tell you that. But I do believe that any coach at LSU, the third year is a big year. And we knew that. I didn't know we were going to go to the SEC championship, but I know after the third year, you got to prove where your program's going. And I think I told you that at the beginning of the year. I felt that this
was the year, no question. All right, we'll start with our coverage. Get to know the foe. First up, the Georgia Bulldogs. Chuck Dowdle, sideline reporter, joins us next for the Inside Skinny on How About Them Dogs here on the Jordy Helfrich Show.
Here's 3 pieces of advice to live by. Never play cards with a guy whose last name is Estate. Don't spit into the wind. And always get your sports talk from the Jordy Hultberg Show on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
Okay. Got a pretty big game taking place this Saturday in the... No, it's not the Georgia Dome anymore, although I still call it that. It's the Mercedes-Benz Stadium, SEC championship game, the Tigers and the Bulldogs of Georgia. Chuck Dowdle has been entrenched in the Georgia Bulldog program. He serves as the sideline reporter on the Georgia Bulldog radio network. He does everything. He's Mr. Ugga. He really is. And a good friend of the program, and we don't talk to him enough because we don't always play Georgia that often, but we got him now, so Chuck, kind enough to join us. Good afternoon, my friend. How are you?
I'm fine, Jordy. How are you?
I'm terrific. Everybody expected Georgia to be in this game. Not many people before the season started thought LSU would be here. When you look at what LSU's accomplished, what comes to mind to you?
Well, I mean, look, they are a terrific team. LSU has done. Let's start with this. They've run the table in the Southeastern Conference. That's just so hard to do. And any team that runs the table in the SEC, That's not a good football team. That is an outstanding football team.
Good point. Georgia came close. They had a slip up against South Carolina, totally out of character, right? I mean, that wasn't Jake Fromm throwing three interceptions, and that's all he's throwing all year long.
Yeah, but one of them was a pick six that was just before the half as Georgia was driving in for a go-ahead score, and a score that would have put them two scores up on South Carolina and would have probably sealed the game. But he threw a pick six, and, South Carolina took advantage of some other Georgia turnovers and then a missed field goal in overtime, and they were able to get out of there with a win. But, again, it goes to what I was talking about. It's hard to run the table in the Southeastern Conference. It doesn't happen very often. it's an infrequent thing, and when a team does it, you know that they're damn good.
Yeah, Chuck Dowdle, kind enough to join us, sideline reporter, and does everything at the University of Georgia, and just an all-around good guy. All right, wide receivers, you got one suspended, you got one hurt. What's going on with that group that Kirby's going to try to get going against LSU's defense? What do you anticipate there?
Well, we're going to have to go with the guys that we have, and you're right. First off, it started out the season as a thin room. When you look at last year, gone from last year's team are Terry Godwin, Mecole Hardman, Riley Ridley, Isaac Nauta. JJ Holloman gets booted from the team in the spring. That's five receivers. In fact, they're Georgia's five best from last year. They're all gone. So now you come in with a couple of five-star receivers in Dominic Blaylock and George Pickens as true freshmen. It takes them a while to catch on. They are starting to catch on, but now Pickens is suspended for the first half against LSU because, he lost control, got into a fight with a Georgia Tech player, got kicked out of the game against Georgia Tech. The other receiver that had stepped up was a graduate transfer into Georgia from the University of Miami, Lawrence Cager, but he has suffered an ankle injury. He is out for the remainder of the season. He is done, and he was Jake Fromm's leading receiver at this point in the season. Still is, but he's just not going to play. So they're going to have to make do with what's there, and there's not a lot there. So. When it comes to throwing the football, Georgia's going to have to, get a little creative.
Mm-hmm. Chuck, but what Georgia does have, and Ed Orgeron was effusive in his praise, is this offensive line. Just how good is it? You've seen a lot of offensive lines for Georgia. How good is this one?
They're the best that Georgia's ever had. They are certainly the biggest. I mean, the guys are—they're absolutely—they hide the sun. They're mammoth. Mm. We're talking about guys that are 6'6", 6'7", 355 to 365 pounds, and can move. They're good. They have a good offensive line, but having said that, if you can't sustain an offensive drive, which Georgia's had problems doing, they've had far too many third down. Conversion opportunities, and that's been a problem because they famously against Florida converted 12 out of 18, which is unheard of, but 18's too many to have. That's just too many third down conversions to have in a game.
Yeah, it'll catch up with you, no question. What
that does and what you can tell when you watch them play is, look, Georgia's defense is outstanding. But over the course of time, they get worn down. When the defense is getting that many third downs, that means that they're not converting some of those times, and they're having to go back out on the field. And that's what's really, hurting Georgia is that the defense does get tired toward the end of games, and it's understandable because the offense has been unable to sustain drives.
Gotcha. One thing Georgia always has, they've always had great running backs. DeAndre Swift is certainly one of them. How's his health, by the way? Because didn't he have a shoulder issue?
He did in the fourth quarter against Georgia Tech. He got hit, fumbled the ball, and suffered a shoulder injury. As we learn later, it's something that he has been dealing with throughout the season. And Coach Smart says, you know, the word is hopeful that he will be able to go on Saturday. And I can only tell you that as a member of the Bulldog Nation, I think hopeful is a great word. You know, that's yes. You know, that's because we've had so many guys that are just flat out, that to have one that's, yeah, well, there's hope, you know, maybe he can play. And so we are hoping that DeAndre Swift will be able to play on Saturday. Oh.
Well, Chuck Dowdle, let's talk about the other side. I've asked you how good the offensive line is. You said it's the best offensive line Georgia's ever had. This is a defense that's really, really good. Just how good is it?
It's good. I mean, they're really good. They're don't get me wrong, they're not a shut you down. You'll never see a 10-yard gain, never see a first down. They're not that. They're a bend but don't break defense, and they get really stingy in the red zone. You know, okay, they did not give up a rushing touchdown until the game against Auburn, and of all people, Bo Nix ran it in. And to this day, that is still the only rushing touchdown that Georgia's defense has allowed this year, and that counts. You know, not allowing many touchdowns at all, but only one was rushing.
Kirby Smart in his SEC teleconference, when asked about, you know, what do you do with LSU's offense, he goes, where do you want me to start? It's been remarkable what this team has done with a quarterback, a running back, and some wide receivers, and a concept that that opponents that face LSU have never, ever seen before.
Yeah, you know, I got to tell you, I was with Kirby yesterday for a while. We have to do some television stuff, and then we do some radio stuff together. We're just sitting around talking, and, you know, he said he was so much enjoying that win over Georgia Tech till he got home and turned on television to watch LSU play Texas A&M. And then he saw A&M, and he said it just kind of ruined the rest of the evening for him. You know, I mean, that not only is Georgia playing a great football team this Saturday in LSU, but, you know, dadgummit, we're playing them just as they're playing their best right now. Couldn't we catch them at a different time? But, you know, it just didn't work out that way.
Have we seen Georgia's best this year? That's what kind of worries me. I know their defense is going to be there. I'm just waiting for this offense to click. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think it is to a degree. But you're asking it to do something with true freshman receivers. I mean, let's just face it. Right now, the passing attack is just not, it's just not what it has been in past years for Georgia. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when you're saying, have we seen the best of Georgia's, you know, as a team, you know, we may have. It may be that the offense, look, the defense has been great. You know, they've been great from the get-go, but the offense has struggled. And, but it may be that's what Georgia's offense is. It's going to have to struggle to get things done, and points for them are hard to come by unless you're playing, you know, an ACC team that's at the bottom of the barrel, like Georgia Tech, that's going through a transition,
right?
You know, then we're able to, you know, run up some points. But as a whole, it's, you know, putting up points for Georgia has been a difficult thing.
Well, you can't get in a shooting match with LSU. They just got too much. They can score too many. So I've got to believe that the Bulldogs want to run it. Field position will be prevalent. It's not bad to punt. And try to pin LSU back deep and then hope for some turnovers. I think what does Georgia have to do to win this thing?
Well, I asked, you know what, we're sitting around yesterday, asked Kirby that exact question. He said two things, explosive plays and get turnovers. He says, we've got to have some explosive plays, and that's been hard for Georgia. and get turnovers. And that's been really hard given how good this defense is. We have not been able to manufacture a lot of turnovers, but you know, that's what it's going to take to beat this LSU team. And, you know, Georgia knows it's got its work cut out for it. This is an outstanding football team playing, probably as good as it's played all year, that's coming in to face Georgia on Saturday, and the Dogs know it. They've got a tough road to hoe here.
Well, last year was a surprise about Jordy, to everybody, by the way, I think.
Yes, I was going to say, by the way, you talk about run it. I got to tell you, years ago I worked with the great Don Shula in Miami, and I did his television shows for 13 years, and Don used to tell me all the time, and I always think the same thing, that how right he was. He used to tell me, the game of football has not changed in over 100 years, that if you want to win, you got to do two things. You got to run the ball, you got to stop the run. And if you can do those two things, you got a heck of a shot.
I'm not going to ever doubt Don Shula. And I'm never ever going to doubt Chuck Dowdle.
Well, now I'm very doubtful. Coach Shula, not so much.
Well, this is it seems like every time LSU goes to the SEC championship game, they either play Georgia or they play Tennessee. We get to play Georgia yet again, and congratulations on it's hard to live up to the hype, and you've had injuries, but you're right now the fourth team in the country. Kirby's done a tremendous job. Should be a great football game. It'll be a packed house. You'll be there right in the middle of it, as always.
It'll be fun.
I greatly appreciate the time.
It'll be fun. Jordy, I'm glad to do it. By the way, I just finished watching the rerun on the SEC Network of the Iron Bowl, which is now known as the SEC Consolation Game.
There's not many people in the league sad to say that there's not a team from the state of Alabama playing in the SEC championship game. That's a pretty darn good Christmas present for the league.
Thank you,
my friend.
Okay. Jordy, how about them Dogs? See you, pal.
How about you did that? That is on cue. I'm telling you, that is on cue. Chuck Dowdle is the best. He had to end the segment with the Dogs barking. Where's my Mike the Tiger when I need him? Where is he? Doggone it. Should have had that planned. Anyway, all right, so there's part of the get to know the foe. We'll continue to get to know the foe for the UL Raging Cajuns. Pierre Banks will join us next to talk about App State, who play the Cajuns for the Sun Belt Conference Championship. It's coming your way next here on the Jordy Helpert Show on Acadiana's number one sports station, 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com.
The Blonde Bomber is back, and better than ever, as you're locked into the Jordy Helpert Show on 1037 The Game, 1037thegame.com. And on the free mobile app.
All right, welcome back. We continue to know the foe, and we know this foe pretty well because it seems like they play all the time. And that, of course, this Saturday at 11 a.m. up in Boone, North Carolina. It'll be the Sun Belt Conference Championship, the second time that these two teams will have played in this game for the second year in a row. And that, of course, is App State versus the UL Raging Cajuns. The Cajuns can win their first Sun Belt title championship in program history. They can win it outright. Twice they've had a share of the league title. The Mountaineers can win the Sun Belt for the fourth straight season, including twice as the outright winner. Man, let's go find Know the Foe. More about App State. Our good friend Pierre Banks, color analyst on the App State Radio Network, joining us. Thanks for the time, Pierre. How you doing, man? How are you?
I'm blessed, man. Anytime I can wake up with breath in my lungs is a real blessing. How you doing, Jordy?
I'm good, man. But when you took that first breath this morning, just how cold was it in Boone?
Extremely, like well below freezing, and it's creeping up a little bit. We're at 34 down, so I can put away the sweater and just keep the coat on.
Snow's on the ground?
Oh, absolutely. We got about 2 to 4 inches yesterday. But thank God they do a great job on the roads here, so nothing stuck there. But, you know, it's a nice scenic look for the mountains and things like that. So I know you guys love coming up here. It's your fourth time in 2 years, I believe. So hopefully you have another good trip.
all right. So we got a rematch of the Sun Belt title game, of which App State won a year ago. You played again this year in Lafayette. And Zach Thomas, man, he scored twice on 7-yard runs, the last with about 1:56 to go. And you win that one 17-7. What did you see in the Raging Cajuns this year that impressed you?
Everything. To me, Louisiana is one of the best football teams in the country. My humble opinion, of course, is just my opinion, but they should be ranked in the top 25. You know, their only losses coming to SEC opponent Texas A&M, a ranked App State team that's got one of the top rushing attacks in the country with a three-headed monster in the backfield. Levi Lewis is a problem, you know, and that defense, I mean, all they did was finish at the top of the Sun Belt, tied with App State as far as scoring defense goes. So when I look at the Cajuns, I see a team that is peaking at the right time. They're playing their best football, and they're one of the best teams in the country.
All right. Tell me about App State. Let's start with Zach Thomas, who kind of wrapped up home field advantage with a 48-13 win at Troy. He set career highs in passing yards, 326. He was 28 of 34, so that was career high in completions. And he had 5 touchdowns, 4 through the air. It seems to me that he was the difference in the regular season matchup. Is that fair to say?
Oh, absolutely. And he's another guy that's playing his best football right at the correct time, because when you go into the championship portion of the season, you want to be peaking, and that's what he's doing. He's had all year to get used to his new head coach / offensive coordinator and Eli Drinkwitz and get out of that Scott Satterfield system that really was tailored towards Zach Thomas, and that staff brought him in for that reason. Now, when Eli Drinkwitz comes in, he's going to run the offense. He's going to run. He does a tremendous job of tweaking it here and there for those players, but Zach Thomas had to catch up, and he had to go from being less of a running quarterback that can hurt you with his arm to being a guy that can be analytical on the field, that can break down coverages, go through his progression, and then run the football lastly. And he's been able to do that here in the last few weeks. But in that first matchup down there in Lafayette, Thomas just did a great job of putting the team on his back. Very tight game late in that one. And then that fourth quarter drive that took up, I think, over 10 minutes, you know, of just keeping the ball on the ground, him making great decisions, ultimately was the difference in that one.
He's the difference. He really is. I mean, I don't know him from a man in the moon, but all I do is look at the numbers. And look, to me, he's the winner. He's 21-3 as a starting quarterback. And you guys don't just play chopped liver. I mean, you beat North Carolina this year. You beat South Carolina this year. I mean, he's the consummate winner, it seems to me.
Absolutely. And the best part about Zach Thomas is he's what you like to call a game manager. And I only say that in the sense that he doesn't beat you. He doesn't turn the ball over a lot. He doesn't try to force it into coverage as much. But in addition to that not beating you, he can also help you win football games because his arm is explosive. He's very accurate. He can beat you with his legs, which is a defense's worst nightmare. And so when you get him on the field, and oh, by the way, he's surrounded by so many weapons, one of the best receiving corps in the Sun Belt Conference. You got absolute horses behind you at running back and a very seasoned offensive line. So, you know, he's surrounded by so many pieces. He doesn't beat you, and he can just let his athleticism take over when all else fails. He's in a great situation, and the apps have benefited from it greatly.
We're talking with Pierre Banks, Get to Know the Foe, App State, 11 o'clock kickoff for the Sun Belt Conference Championship in Boone. It's going to be cold. There's going to be snow on the ground. We talk about the offense, but, man, that defense doesn't give up much. Tell me about that defense and what makes it special.
you know what? At the beginning of the season, they were the talk of the town, but it wasn't in a good way. They were giving up a lot of points, giving up a lot of yards on the ground, and it seems like that trip down to Louisiana was really the turning point. They were able to keep the top rushing offense in the country below 150 yards, you know, and they held that very potent Cajun offense to just 7 points. And from there, the ball kind of got rolling. And now they've had several games to where they've held their opponents to below 100 yards on the ground. Again, they finished tied atop of the conference in scoring defense with Louisiana. So it was that trip down to Lafayette that really helped them out, really bonded them as a team. And it showed not only App State Nation, but it showed this team that they don't have to rely on the offense to outscore an opponent. Of course, you got to score more points to win, but when it comes down to a close ball game, they can hold their own.
Pierre, I think just you and I talking as friends here, I think the difference now is, and you mentioned it, he's a problem. I think the maturation and the development of Levi Lewis adds a whole new dimension to this third opportunity that the Raging Cajuns have against the Mountaineers.
Yeah, he is such a tremendous player, and I've always been a Levi Lewis fan. I vividly remember calling the game in Boone a season ago, and he got in, maybe it was the third or fourth series, immediately drove the Cajuns down for a touchdown, and then they took him out of the game for the majority of the rest of the game. I think he only got one more series after that, and I'm thinking, you know, what's wrong? Is he hurt or something like that? Yeah, but he's been a game breaker for a long time, and the reason being his legs are just incredible, and it's not in a sense that he just wants to tuck the ball at the first sign of trouble and go, which I think was his tendency when he first got to Lafayette. But now he can escape the pocket, but it's not looking to run down the field. It's looking to extend the play and give his playmakers down the field enough time to get into that scramble drill, get open, and make huge plays. And it's just really paid off, especially when you got the running attack that they have down in Louisiana. And, you know, the combination of being able to run the ball at will, then having a quarterback that is so dangerous with his arm, can extend plays, especially on third down situations, and makes him virtually unstoppable.
We're talking with Pierre Banks, saying some very nice things about the Raging Cajuns. But tonight, you're going to hear your name announced when the College Football Playoff Committee comes up with their top 25. And App State's going to be in there. I don't know where they're going to be, but they're going to be there, and they deserve to be there. Talk about what football means in that part of the world and the tradition that App State has.
It is it's everything here in the high country, as they call it. But I mean, this is a tradition that dates back, you know, well before my time, well before any of these guys' time up here. But in the days of 1AA football, or FCS as it evolved over the years, this is a team that, you know, was at the top of the SoCon back in those days, the Southern Conference, year in, year out. They were always battling for that conference championship, always, you know, finding themselves in the mix for playoff positioning. And then from that 2005 to 2007 time frame, really put themselves on the map as far as winning three straight national championships, getting, my humble opinion again, the biggest upset in sports history against Michigan. And so taking that next step in that area really gave them that national brand, as opposed to just having fame here in the mountains of North Carolina. And now, you know, it's very recognizable whenever you go out. And anytime you hear App State, you know, Michigan is next. And now these guys up here, after so many times of coming up just short, they get two FBS wins, or two Power 5 wins, excuse me, in the same season. And it's just continuing to elevate this program. You get your first national ranking at the FBS level, as you said. Now they find themselves in that CFP poll ranking. And it's just, it's incredible. It's incredible to see the evolution of this program.
You're still in the hunt for a New Year's Six bowl. Some things have to fall your way if you are successful on Saturday and some other dominoes fall the right way. It's not out of the realm of possibility, and that would be quite the accomplishment. So sum it up. What does App State do so well? What are their keys to beat UL again?
It's going to start at the line of scrimmage. They got to win the battle in the trenches, and offensively, the Apps love to get that run game going so that they can build upon that and get their very talented receivers involved. But not only on the offensive side, but you cannot allow Louisiana to come up and control the game by keeping it on the ground, letting that three-handed monster do their thing, and then getting them in third and short situations. Got to win first and second down, put Levi Lewis in a little more uncomfortable situation by putting him in third and long, mm-hmm. so he can't hurt you as bad with his legs. And then when you blitz, when you rush, you got to keep rush lane integrity. You can't allow him to break the pocket, get outside, and get a lot of yards or extend those plays. Force him into that B gap, that A gap area where you can converge on him and make the play. And then special teams, in my humble opinion, is going to be huge. When you got two teams that are very, very tight as far as talent goes, as far as being great football teams, the third phase of the game usually ends up being the difference. And I'm not just talking about field goals or things like that. I'm talking field position, making the opposing offense earn each and every yard down the field.
Man, you're the best, Pierre. I can't thank you enough. You're always there when we need you. It should be a heck of a ball game. I think it's going to be a really, really, really good game. You'll be there, and we'll be watching and listening. So thank you so much, man, and stay warm, okay?
Oh, absolutely, man. And hopefully on Saturday there'll be a game between two ranked teams. I think Louisiana is very deserving. Be interesting to see where they fall tonight.
That would be great. Thank you, man. Take care. Happy holidays to you. Pierre Banks of the App State Radio Network. Get to know the foe. We'll take a quick time out here when we come back to wrap up hour number one. There's been a firing in the NFL, and no, it's not the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. It's another head coach. We'll tell you who. And Will Wade previews tonight's hoops game here on the Jordy Helfert Show.
You're listening to the Jordy Holtberg Show on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game. Want to get in on the action? Call us up on the Ardco Equipment Hotline at 337-706-0111.
Well, the silly season's begun in college football, and now it's taking place in the NFL. Welcome back. The Jordy Holtberg Show, 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com. The Carolina Panthers have parted ways with head coach Ron Rivera. Riverboat Ron is out, owner David Tepper announced today. Secondary coach Perry Fowell will be the interim head coach. Offensive coordinator North Turner will transition to special assistant to the head coach, and quarterbacks coach Scott Turner will serve as offensive coordinator. 9 years was Rivera at Carolina. 76 up, 63 down, 1 tie, 3-4 in postseason play, a two-time NFL Coach of the Year, took the team to Super Bowl 50 following the 2015 season, but finished with only 3 winning seasons since taking over in 2011. The Panthers lost to the Broncos. That was Peyton Manning and company in the Super Bowl. So Tepper spent an NFL record $2.275 billion to purchase the Panthers from longtime owner Jerry Richardson 2 years ago. And there you go. Ron Rivera out with the Carolina Panthers. What's going to happen? Who's next? Who's next? Tonight, LSU basketball back on the hardwood. Will Wade and his company will take on the UNO Privateers. We'll hear from head coach of the Privateers, Mark Schlesinger, coming up shortly in hour number two. But Will Wade, in a press conference, discuss a variety of things, including... I couldn't hear what you said, Clint. I'm sorry. Oh, okay. All right. But Will Wade and company, they've got two games, one tonight against UNO. Then they've got Northwestern State, the Demons, coming in on Sunday. Then they'll take their midterm exam break. But they're still trying to grow. They're still trying to learn one another. It's a different team from the team that won the SEC a year ago. One thing that Will Wade talked about was the offense's development to this point in time.
I think we've taken, for the most part, the last couple of games, we've taken much better threes. And so I feel like, as long as we touch the paint, we're really good with transition threes and paint touch threes. We shoot over 50% on those. The problem is all the rest of them, and we don't take enough of the transition and paint touch threes. And so our team's well aware of how I feel about our shots. We went through that very, very clearly yesterday in great detail. And so I think we'll be taking better shots. If we'd shoot the really good ones, we pass up some really good ones and take some poor ones. And so we got to shoot the really good ones if we want to become more efficient.
And the poor ones come when the shot clock's on your back, and they don't get when they're in transition and they don't get the quick shot and they have to set things up. And that's where you miss a Tremont Waters. And Waters is no longer there. So Will Wade talked about Javonte Smart and his new role with the team.
I think Javonte's just settling in. It's different. I was telling somebody the other day, people forget, Tremont was averaging over 5 turnovers a game at the beginning of the season last year. And then we went to Las Vegas and he started playing a lot better. But I mean, it takes some time. I mean, Tremont was a phenomenal player as a freshman, moves into a different, with a different team as a sophomore, and he was struggling. And then we didn't have any turnover problems the rest of the year after that. So I think a lot of it's just, like I said, the acclimatization and learning how to play with your new teammates. And, I was telling our staff, just looking at our turnover problems early in the year, we probably don't play enough pickup in the summer. Like we do so much where we're doing individual skill instruction and we're doing some team. Like we don't play enough pickup. Like they need to play more together and play more pickup.
Absolutely. That's how you learn to play, and that's how you learn each other's nuances, no question. One of the big bugaboos for LSU basketball, besides turnovers, a big concern was, can they rebound the basketball? And against Missouri State, whoo, gave up way too many offensive boards. Will Wade commented on it.
They are really, 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 really good rebounders. In one of the games, 30 had 17 rebounds in Charleston. So, I mean, they just pin their ears back and they go. Now, do we need to be more physical? Yes. Our issue on Friday night was really our guards. Our guards didn't help us at all. Our guards got back to kind of standing and watching as opposed to cracking down and helping us on that weak side. So we got to get back to getting that straightened out.
One of the key players that they're missing, Marlon Taylor, great player from a year ago. Here's Wade on his update from an injury perspective.
He's progressing well. He's out of his boot, and we expect him. He can start. He's started to do some conditioning and that sort of thing. So we're hopeful that we'll have him back after our little break, after the New Orleans and Northwestern State game. Hopefully we'll be able to play him in the East Tennessee State game. Get him some minutes in that game. But he's progressing well, and we feel very good about his progress, and the foot's reacting a lot better to this surgery than the last one.
He gives an added dimension, and they won't know the true identity of this team until Marlon Taylor is back. 8 o'clock tip, LSU, UNO. You can listen to it right here on 103.7 The Game. We'll hear from head coach Mark Schlesinger in hour number two. Mike Nabors will join us from Cox Sports Television to talk about the New Orleans Saints, who are at this present time the number one seed in the NFC if the playoffs would start today. They don't. They got 4 games to go. Can they hold on to it? They control the old proverbial, their own destiny. Yes, indeed. Hour number one, history. Busy hour number two coming your way. The Jordy Helfert Show, 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com. We are Acadiana Sports Station.
Live from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
Tigers pull off another miracle!
This is Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
Touchdown, New Orleans!
Streaming live on the 103.7 The Game mobile app and online at 103.7thegame.com.
He struck him out, and the Tigers have won!
This is the Jordy Hultberg Show. Get involved and call 337-706-0111. Follow along at 1037 The Game on Facebook and Twitter. And now it's time. Here's your host, Jordy Hultberg.
It's hour two of two, and away we go on this Tuesday, the third day of December. Hope you're having a great one. Kids are out of school now, so be careful, buckle up, and drive safely on the highways and the byways. A big second hour coming your way, brought to you by ShopRite Tobacco Plus Discount Outlets. If you're not a member of the Buku Rewards Program, what's taking you so long? You've missed out on so many great deals and discounts and savings. It's very simple. Go to ShopRite.com, ShopRite.com, that's R-I-T-E, become a Buku Rewards member, and you will find out all the benefits that you have. With over 60 in southern and central Louisiana, if you can't shop right at ShopRite, you can't shop right at all. From my buddy Scott Rabelais of The Advocate, who said he emailed a guy who sends the odds on betonline.ag, asked why no odds on the Heisman Trophy race this week. And the guy said, Joe Burrow is now such a favorite, it's off the board. How about that? Yes, indeed. You got to love it. As we do each and every day at this time of day, we start off hour number two with our daily walk around the sports water cooler with my main man, CD, if you don't mind, sir.
Here's today's Hot Topics, brought to you by Cajun Chef. Spice up your life with Cajun Chef products. Delectably delicious. Decidedly better.
I guess the question, CD, is who else gets the invite to New York for the Heisman? Because I don't think there's any chance, there's no way that Joe Burrow's not going to be the winner. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Jordy. I have to agree with you. It feels like Joe Burrow has already secured the Heisman after 14 weeks of college football. But I think if we were to pick the other two, in my mind, I'd probably wind up saying Justin Fields definitely deserves to be in that conversation. And then I'd say a third one. I think we got to go with Jennings native. Maybe a little home, maybe a little bit of in-state bias here, but we got to go with Travis Etienne out of Clemson. The dude has had a phenomenal year. I think he definitely at least deserves to be in that conversation.
Yeah, I think it's quite the reward. And if that is the case, then you've got to look at a Jalen Hurts at Oklahoma. You got to look at a Chase Young at Ohio State. Just invite them. Let them go and spend some money on them. Let them wine and dine and have some fun. And then just hand the trophy to my boy, who's going to have a statue forever in front of Tiger Stadium alongside Dr. Billy Cannon. What a remarkable story, man. Remarkable story. All right, what you got today?
All right, Jordy, and you know, you're kind of leading me in the direction I was kind of wanting to go to start off Hot Topics. You're talking about Joe Burrow getting his eventual statue down the road. Uh-huh. But before we get to the statue, of course, we got to talk about the jersey retirement. Now, my question to you, Jordy, is this. Would Joe Burrow, when he gets his jersey retired and they have his name plastered on Tiger Stadium, does it read B-U-R-R-O-W or does it read B-U-R-R-E-A-U-X?
It's got to read his real name, O.W.
As cute oh, come as on, Jordy.
As cute as that story is, and that's great, you notice when the game started and they played yeah. for keeps, he put on his real name jersey. So that's what it's going to be. But he'll be up there with Cannon and Stovall and Casanova and on, and they'll get some other ones up there as well. But it'll have that statue. And I said it before, and I'll say it again, if you do the Mount Rushmore of just LSU athletes, no coaches, just the athletes, you got to have Pistol Pete, you got to have Billy Cannon, you got to have Shaq, and you got to have Joe Burrow. Plain and simple. I don't think there's any question or any doubt about it. Those are the four most influential, most coveted, most revered athletes in LSU athletics history.
No doubt, Jordy, no doubt. I think that's a strong Mount Rushmore. I think nobody would disagree with that at all. But, you know, we're going to kind of jump things over because I saw this pop up last night. I don't know if you've seen this or not, but Gary Sheffield out there, 50 years old and still hitting absolute ropes, hitting three home runs just for fun while having a cigar in his mouth, Jordy. It's absolutely amazing to see what he's been able to do at 50.
Maybe Chef is saying, look at all the money these guys are making. Look how old these quarterbacks are playing. Baseball, I don't have to run. I can just be the DH, and if I can show them I can hit home runs like this, I can get some serious money. So maybe Chef's trying for a comeback at 50. Who knows? But that's great. Good story for him.
That'd be really cool. And, you know, you got me thinking in your field, Jordy, obviously you've played for LSU basketball back in the gap. I want to know, Jordy, I know you probably – still play a little occasional pickup game. So my question to you is, Jordy, what's it like with the three-point shot? You have 10 attempts anywhere you want in terms of the college three-point line.
With nobody guarding me?
Yeah, nobody guarding you.
Oh, I'm going to make 6 out of 10. That's guaranteed. I'll still make 80% at the free throw line. Guaranteed.
I love it, Jordy. I absolutely love it.
Just don't make me have to run anymore. And cut and do all that stuff. Yeah. No. But just catch it and shoot it, 60%.
Awesome. That's amazing, Jordy. And, you know, we'll kind of just flip it on over to what happened last night. Monday Night Football, my goodness.
Wow.
How great is it to be the Saints right about now? Because everything is working out the way you want it to.
Yeah, how about San Francisco went from the number one seed, and then in 48 hours they became the fifth seed.
That's weird for them.
Yeah, it's crazy. Saints just have to take care of their business. And they've got, you know, when you look at their schedule, they really don't have as difficult a schedule as Seattle, as San Francisco has. So it's right there for the taking for them. It's right there. I just can't believe the NFC least with Dallas still in the playoffs with their record and what they've been through. It's just amazing.
I think we should just relegate the entire NFC East over to the XFL, Jordy. I think that's just what we need to wind up doing because, man, it's just an absolute joke what's going on right now in the NFC East. And it's been like that for the last couple of years. I think it's time to kind of try and figure out why things are the way they are. Because you got, obviously, Pat Shurmur's probably be fired at the end of the year. I love how Jerry Jones is still thinking Jason Garrett will be coaching in the NFL next year.
He is so gone. There is no way that Jason Garrett's going to be coaching again. No way.
I've seen crazier things happen, but, man, this one feels like an absolute stretch and a half to see that Jason Garrett's still considered a decent enough head coach to be getting another job next year. It's mind-boggling.
He'll be maybe he goes to college and coaches at Missouri or something. Who knows? He ain't going to be a coach of the Cowboys. That's for sure.
Just a low-pressure gig. I think that would be perfect for him.
Yeah, that's right.
But, man, you know, we could talk about it all day long, what happened yesterday with him. Alvin Gentry talking a little bit about Zion Williamson, saying, you know, he would have loved to have him. His timetable was October 18th, jokingly to the press, but I think, obviously, mid-December seems to be where everybody's at.
Clint, you don't understand. All right, here's what's going to happen. The Pelicans are playing on Christmas Day.
Yes.
He's going to make his debut on Christmas Day. It's all part of the plan. It's the NBA. It's
yes.
the television package. It's the, I mean,
that's where I'm at too,
happen.
Jordan.
That's what's going to happen. He's going to play. He's going to make his debut on Christmas Day. They're going to promote that thing like crazy, and people are going to turn the TV on to see the Big Z make his NBA debut. And the first play is going to be a Jrue Holiday alley-oop to Zion. He's going to throw it down, and all's right with the world. I'm telling you.
I'd probably – my pick, Jordy, for the first play is going to be Alonzo to Zion alley-oop because I feel like that's just going to become the tradition to see that happen after December 25th to open up Zion Williamson's rookie campaign. I think it's going to be Alonzo to Zion alley-oop.
Either way. Zion's going to get it. He's going to throw it down. And the NBA and their television partners are all going to be happy. And then we can get going and see what this team can really do.
And, you know, we're going back to LSU, Jordy, for a minute. We heard yesterday Joe Brady, the finalist for the Broyles Award, given out to the best assistant coach in all of college football. How crazy to think that an offensive, like, assistant coach is getting the is a finalist for the Broyles Award for LSU? Because typically you think about it, that's usually given – you'd consider it more like a defensive guy as opposed to an offensive assistant for LSU.
It has been such a transformation Everybody knew what LSU football was all about. Really good defense, good special teams, offense that runs the ball between the tackles. It's been such an epiphany. People are still shocked. Is that that's LSU putting up those kind of numbers, throwing the ball like they do with the best quarterback in the country with the highest percentage, completion percentage in the history of college football? And it's all because there's only been one change, and that's Joe Brady coming on staff and bringing that Saints playbook with him. I don't see how you don't give it to him. I don't see how he doesn't win it.
It feels like he definitely deserves it because of the fact it's just things have changed overnight. And, you know, we're talking about Joe Brady and how important he's been to this LSU success. I think it's just the fact, like, right here, right now, we talk about Joe Brady. He's going to stick around for at LSU. To me, I wouldn't be surprised if in, like, the next 2021 college football season, he's the offensive coordinator for LSU.
I wouldn't be surprised about that at all. I don't know. Yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see how they handle this. What do they do with Steve Ensminger? Do they take the two of them, combine their salaries to make the same amount that Dave Aranda's making? I think that's probably fair. And then, you know, you keep things status quo. And then maybe Steve Ensminger wants to retire after that. And then you slide Joe Brady in until some pro team calls him and says, you know, do you really want to go recruit or do you just want to coach football? And then he'll probably leave to go to the NFL. That would be my guess. I don't think Dave Aranda wants to be a head coach. I think Joe Brady wants to go back to the NFL, eventually. So until then, though, any other move would be a lateral move for him. Is somebody going to try and scoop him up as a head coach? Well, you know, there's so much more that goes to it than just calling plays. And he hasn't had any experience with that. So we'll see. We'll see. Look, it's good to be Joe Brady, right? He's going to make a lot of money, and that's going to happen real soon. So good for him. Good for him. All right, there's your Hot Topics for the day. Thank you very much, Mr. Domain. We greatly appreciate that. LSU basketball, by the way, a winner today. Women's team, 332 over Nichols. A little afternoon delight in the PMAC. All right, Hot Topics brought to you by Cajun Chef Hot Sauce, the B.R. family. Family tradition for nearly 90 years. Putting out the same great products, and their hot sauce is the best of the best because they use the finest spices and the finest peppers. They put it all together. Voila. Do yourself a flavor. Bring a bottle of Cajun Chef hot sauce with you wherever you go. Because I'm telling you, everything tastes better with Cajun Chef hot sauce on it. We told you the women's basketball score. The men play tonight, 8 p.m. tip, right here on 103.7 The Game against the UNO Privateers. We'll have the head coach of UNO, Mark Schlesinger, giving us a preview next.
Taking the hottest topics out there and dousing them in gasoline. It's the Jordy Hultberg Show on 103.7 The Game.
Which tonight at 8 p.m., you can dial up the LSU men's basketball team as the UNO Privateers come to town. They're renewing a series that started back in 1977. The last time these two teams met was November of 2013. Joining us now for a preview, he is an outstanding basketball coach that does an awful lot with less than most. But a dear friend, Mark Schlesinger, head coach of the UNO Privateers, joining us on game day. Mark, thanks for the time, buddy. How are you?
Doing great, Jordy. How you been?
I'm good, man. What's going on with this Southland Conference? My gosh, you've got Nicholls State beating Pittsburgh. You got Stephen F. Austin ambushing Duke. Man, that's terrific.
You know, I've been beating the drum, you know, about this league for years. I've been really lucky to, you know, be in it for 20 years now, going back to, you know, my 11 at Northwestern State with Coach McConathy and then 9 down here now at UNO. And you just go through it. And the basketball in this league is tremendous. The diversity, yes, of styles, the athleticism, the foot speed, the coaching. I mean, yeah, I go back to my early years at Northwestern with Coach Mike, and you know, and having just wars with Ricky Broussard and guys like that, and just the teams that they had, and then you go through the different eras where we were really dominant in Northwestern. You know, Stephen F. had a good run, and you know, and now we've been very blessed to be good the last 3 years, along with Sam Houston. You know, and Stephen F. has a strong team again, along with a lot of others. It's a really, really deep league.
It really is. All right, tell me about your UNO Privateers. You got four averaging in double figures, which is kind of what every coach wants. You don't have that one maybe superstar, but you spread the wealth. Tell me about your club and what how you have adapted them into your style and you into what they do best.
You know, it's been a great experience for us. We had the number one strength of schedule coming into the season with our non-conference schedule, yeah. And I think it's held true when you look at the fact that, you know, Butler's undefeated. Mississippi State's got, I think, one loss. SMU may still be undefeated or one loss. Hawaii, who we played really, really good out there, the seven-point loss. I think they have only one or two losses. You know, we just have had a really tough run of games. You know, this one with LSU will be right up there with it. But, you know, our team has had to go through a lot of adversity, you know, with that. I think it's always a challenge to put these guys in the road and put them in a grinder. Being we're generally a one-bid league, you've got to be really, really good in March, and we want to try to do as much as we can to prepare them. And I think adversity, really shows where you're at, where your weaknesses are at. And, you know, that this isn't on topic, but, I mean, a funny story. I brought up Ricky Broussard. I talked to Danny earlier, you know, at St. Thomas More. And daggone Danny said, how's your team doing? I said, well, we've had some adversity, some injuries, different things have gone on. And he said, yeah, we've had tons of diversity, too. And I said, diversity? What are you talking about? Cajuns, not Cajuns? What are you talking about? And he said, I don't know. I meant adversity. So I hate to talk about the guy, but I mean, when
it's Danny for
you. It all ties together. But, you know, we've had some guys in and out. We've been playing a lot of young guys that I think will pay off for us in the end. It's going to be really, really good for us. But being picked preseason number one, everyone coming at us, it's been a battle. But I'm excited to go back to Baton Rouge and really thankful for Coach Wade and him bringing us back up there again. It's good. It's good for us to get up there and play a game that has such history going back to Ron Green and everybody with LSU and O, just such a great rivalry.
No question. Mark Schlesinger, head coach of the UNO Privateers, 8 o'clock tip tonight, LSU and UNO. One thing I can always say, when people ask me about UNO, I say I don't care who the players are. I know one thing for sure. They're going to play hard. They're going to play tough. They're going to get after it. They're going to be pesky and scrappy. And I think that's a testament to you. You get your guys to play hard night in and night out.
Well, I appreciate that. It's a great compliment, but it's a bigger compliment to our staff and to our student-athletes themselves. They take great pride in being a blue-collar group and really trying to do all the little things to help us overachieve, to be able to stay in games, to be able to move forward. And I think that that's part of why we've been able to be successful. We're not always going to get, you know, the high major four-star, five-star guys, but I think we've been able to get pretty good players that have bought into what we do and how we do it and really play team basketball and put the team before themselves. And then by doing that, we've had a lot of success, and these guys have had a good bit of individual success within our team concept. And you know, I think that you've seen that, you know, whether it's the Patriots or whether it's what Coach O was doing with the Tigers, different things like that. I think when you're able to get guys to be selfless, in the end they get the individual glory along with the team glory. And I think that our guys have bought into that. But that's a testament to them as their character, the parents and guardians that raised them, and our staff that's just done an amazing job with them.
They're always one of the better defensive teams in the Southland Conference. LSU doesn't have those tall skyscrapers anymore. They're not that big anymore. That's got to give you some hope when you look at LSU and scout them. What stands out to you?
Well, they're just so good from an offensive perspective. When you look at having Skyler and Javonte, two of the more special basketball players that have come out of our state in the last decade, and just what they do offensively. They both just have such good pace. And, mm-hmm. and I don't know, you're a basketball guy, you get it. They play like they're 40 in a rec league. They go from slow to quick, slow to fast. And pace is a really difficult thing to teach and coach. And when you find some that have it, man, boy, does it make your life easier. You know, a lot of kids can go 100 miles an hour, but it's hard for them to go from 20 to 80 and then back down to 30 or 40 and all be under control and make decisions. Right. And I think those guys have done that. I think Coach Wade's done a really good job of getting Javonte to grow into a point guard position and be able to be really talented at that position. But Wofford, I think, is an incredible skilled player. I hope they can keep him more than 1 year. I just think he's really, really, really good. But I think they've done a good job at kind of adapting where they were. They could roll out big monsters last year, one after the other.
Yes.
I think they've changed and adapted more to the personnel. And I think that they'll end up scoring it at a higher rate than they were at last year. But they're all pretty good. Every guy that they've been bringing out there on the bench in our scouting, our preparation, he's a pretty daggone good player. So we're going to have our hands full for sure.
Well, Celeste, I know it's game day. I know you got a lot of stuff to do. I greatly appreciate the time. And, man, it's great to see LSU, UNO playing basketball again. It brings back a lot of great memories. So thanks for the time, man, and good luck.
You got it. I appreciate it. Can't wait to see y'all. Thanks.
Okay, we'll be there, buddy. That's Mark Schlesinger, the head coach of the UNO Privateers again. 8:00. It's a little late tip right here. You can watch it on the SEC Network. Turn down the sound. Turn up the radio. 103.7 The Game, LSU and UNO. When we come back, we'll talk Saints football. Mike Nabors, Cox Sports Television, here on the Jordy Helpert Show.
The Blonde Bomber is back, and better than ever, as you're locked into the Jordy Hultberg Show on 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com, and on the free mobile app.
Let's talk some New Orleans Saints, brought to you by Peterbilt of Louisiana. The Saints are Louisiana's team. Peterbilt is Louisiana's truck. It really is. It's a dream of every truck driver to own a Peterbilt. Joining us now, our good friend Mike Nabors, Cox Sports Television analyst and reporter for the New Orleans Saints. Mike, good afternoon, my friend. How are you?
I'm good, Jordy. How are you?
I'm a lot better because the Baltimore Ravens took care of the 49ers, and then the Seattle Seahawks won last night, and so the Saints are the number one seed as we are right now. They don't need any help. If they win the last four games, it's home, sweet home, and the playoffs for the Saints as they try to end their journey in Miami for Super Bowl 54. So do you get that? I mean, it just looks like right now that all the cards are in their favor.
Yeah, I mean, you can only ask to control your own destiny, and then you can do it at home. So you can't look back this season saying, we didn't have our shot. I mean, they earned their shot. And watching that game, the Seattle Seahawks play last night, it got me thinking how resilient the Saints team is. I mean, going into that game, I really didn't think they had that great of a chance to win. I mean, Bridgewater didn't look that good in the second half against the Rams. They had every chance to kind of be reeling without Drew Brees. But the defense stepped up in that game. The running game, Kamara stepped up in that game. And that's what this season's been about for the Saints, Jordy. Now they got to really put a collective effort in. I think, you could make a case as not a more talented team in the NFL than the Saints, but they got to clean things up, especially with those penalties.
I read something, Mike Nabors, Cox Sports Television, about this upcoming game with the 49ers as far as how big this one is. The Superdome opened in 1975. The Saints have played 105 games in the months of December and January in the Dome in their history. Never has there been an NFL game played in the Dome in December or January where the two teams have combined for four losses or less, and yes, that even includes the playoffs. This is a big one.
That's a great stat. The one that I like, the Saints fans should like, is that since the reclassification of all the divisions, I believe back in 2002, the teams that have clinched the earliest, only one has won the Super Bowl, and it just happened to be the 09 New Orleans Saints. So
wow.
How about that?
Wow. Vegas has the Saints as a three-point favorite. It looked like Baltimore figured out how to slow down that defensive line a little bit. What's your confidence level on the Saints' offensive line going into this one?
Well, I like what they did, against the Atlanta Falcons. Granted, those are the Atlanta Falcons. I think they're going to have to use, all their weaponry. I mean, Taysom Hill, the way they used him really keeps defenses guessing. I think that would help the offensive line, who, by the way, opened that huge hole for him in that touchdown run. That was very impressive. Drew Brees, was on his feet the whole game. So I like what they did in that game, but this is a whole different animal. I mean, you talk about the defensive line for the Niners. That's why they've had the success they've had this season. I mean, offense, they have some weapons. Garoppolo is getting better and better, but it all comes down to that defensive line. So, a lot of people point to Andres Pete not playing and Armstead being out, but the guys who stepped in are veteran guys. It's not like you're throwing out rookies. They play in the league. They're not to the caliber of the All-Pros Pete and Armstead, but I like what we saw against the Atlanta Falcons. I think Sean Payton just has to shake it up, and we didn't see a lot of Taysom Hill really the 3 weeks prior to the Atlanta game, and we saw a bunch of him against the Falcons. And it's funny that, if you're an opposing defense, you got to be ready for that, even though he doesn't get action, and that's a huge advantage.
No question. No question. Mike Nabors, Cox Sports Television. The only biggest negative from Atlanta, of course, are the special teams and the onside kicks. I know Sean Payton said it was embarrassing. We've got to get this thing straightened out. What is the problem there?
You know what? It was crazy. As you know, covering games, we were down on the ground level and didn't have a real good look at the TVs down there. But we had a good enough look to say, okay, that happened once.
Yes.
It happened again. It happened again. It was crazy. I think that's something that, what was weird about it was, you had your best players out there on the hands team, and they just kind of looked lost at times. So to me, that would be something easy to fix. It's such an anomaly. I'm more worried about the penalties and the onside kicks. Now, if they're in that kind of situation late against the 49ers, that may be good news for the Saints. But, I don't know. To me, that's a little thing that they just have to tweak and work on. The main thing right now is just playing smarter football and not having these penalties, because that has really prevented them from a few blowouts this year. I mean, I think they could have won a few games by a lot bigger margin, but the penalties have kept the opponents in there. We saw it against Carolina a few weeks ago.
I got a suggestion on these. I know there's the hands team, but the guys they had at the second row, the front row kind of blocks everybody, and the second guy row is the guy that's supposed to get the ball. It was Alvin Kamara. It was Michael Thomas. Those guys don't want to get hit like that on special teams. Put somebody else out there that's used to getting hit hard like that and let them get the football. I'm not getting Kamara and Thomas hurt. I know Sean Payton's forgotten a million times more football than I'll ever know. But that just looked obvious to me. Am I crazy?
No, I was thinking the same thing. And it's, to me, that's the tweaks you got to make. And Peyton, I don't think they're in that situation a whole bunch with these onside kicks. But when you see it over and over again, you got to make adjustments. And there are plenty of guys that can fill the roles of Michael Thomas and Kamara. And I agree with you. If I'm those guys, I'm thinking, I'm not going to get slammed here on this onside kick when we're up by 15 or 20 points there.
No way. I'm with you. Mike Nabors, Cox Sports Television. What was that? What was it, a Saints takeover in the I still call it the Georgia Dome. Coach Orgeron calls it the Georgia Dome. I know it's the Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
I'll say this about that Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It was Thanksgiving Day. and not that your viewers really or listeners really care about this, but you know, it's Thanksgiving. So you know, you don't have Thanksgiving. You're working. That was right. The best pregame meal for the media I've ever had in my life.
What'd you have?
I was just amazed by how good it was. So I'll give the Falcons credit for that. I was a big fan of Georgia Dome too, by the way. But yeah, I mean, I'm amazed. Atlanta, when you look at the landscape of that city, it's a soccer town now. I mean, they show out for soccer,
wow,
but they don't show out for the football team or as much for the baseball team. I mean, granted, soccer has won a little bit, but the tradition of the Falcons and the Braves, and the Braves have won recently. So at the end of that game, it was just Saints fans that were left. I bet you so many Falcons fans probably got home and were told about the onside kicks and never saw them because they weren't there.
Right. Oh, wait a minute. The heck with sports. Let's talk about food. I want to hear what they serve up.
It was tremendous. I mean, I remember telling somebody last year, the first year that stadium opened, this is the best pregame meal I've ever had. I felt like I was in a food court up there. I got one plate, and I thought, well, I should have gotten that. How about that over there? I mean, it was unbelievable, Jordy, the press box food they have in that new stadium. And it carries over to the fans. I know it's real affordable food, and that's even more of a head-scratcher on why fans don't show up. I know the Falcons aren't any good. That's part of it. But they roll off the red carpet there. I mean, they had everything. And the funny thing, I was talking to some of my media buddies. At the end of the line, they had the best turkey and ham and you know, all the fixings for Thanksgiving. And then you had this thing full of hot dogs. I'm like, who's getting hot dogs after all that?
Wow. I would have. Nothing like a stadium dog. Mike Nabors, Cox Sports Television. All right, so the Saints break out the T-shirts. The South is not enough. Drew Brees says we have bigger fish to fry. What was Drew's reaction after the game and looking ahead to this one coming up against the Niners?
Well, I think the T-shirts spoke volumes. You know, it's a hat and T-shirt game when you win the division, but, you know, they're not finished winning the NFC South. That's not the big goal. They want so much more than the NFC South. And that speaks a lot about this team. I mean, you know, it's one thing to talk about. I love Sean Payton's motto last year, prove them right, because the expectations were sky high. Yeah. One thing I'll say about this football team, Jordy, I mean, we've seen the storyline year after year now. Are you going to get over the Minnesota Miracle? Are you going to get over the no call? There's no doubt they've gotten over that. And that you got to give credit to the leadership on this team, and you got to give credit to Sean Payton for that. But they're wearing the shirts basically saying the NFC South isn't enough. And it's not. I mean, they've won the division for three straight years, which is remarkable because this division is so topsy-turvy. But they want so much more. They know what has happened the last couple of years. They deserve better, and they want to make it happen now.
Here's Mike Nabors of Cox Sports Television. How do you rate the remainder of the schedule? The 49ers at home, followed by the Colts at home, and then you've got road trips to end the season at Tennessee and at Carolina. How do you rate that schedule?
Well, this is a huge one, obviously, this weekend. But I kind of worry about that game in Nashville. Tennessee's believing. Ryan Tannehill's really replaced Marcus Mariota, and they're thinking playoffs. That's going to be a big game for that football team. And you wonder, you know, we saw it earlier in the season with the Saints kind of getting fat and happy after the bye week, not playing well against the Falcons. Should they beat the Niners? Should they win on Monday night? Everybody's going to say they're the team to beat. You don't want to slip on the road against the Titans in Nashville. I kind of worry about that game a little bit if they keep winning. But, you know, maybe they've learned their lesson dropping that game against the Falcons, and that'll serve them well in that game.
Man, you don't want to go up in the cold territory. You don't have to play the Packers or Seattle or teams like that, man. The home field is so, so critical. And part of that is what's happened with Cam Jordan. He is a man possessed out there. They're talking about 20 sacks isn't out of the question.
Jordan, we may be looking, all apologies to Ricky Jackson, to the best Saints defensive player we've ever seen. I mean, he's in the prime of his career. He got the big contract, and much like Michael Thomas, those guys, you know, they want the contract, but they really want to be great. And Cam Jordan wants to be great, and he shows no signs of letting down. And he's the kind of guy, like a Ricky Jackson, that makes that big play every game, and now we're seeing multiple big plays per game. And now he's finally getting help, too. I mean, how many years do we say Cam Jordan needs some help? The Saints... Yeah. It's well documented how well they drafted with Marcus Davenport playing well on the other side, with Shelton Rankins being healthy. It just makes him more dangerous. He's already good before, but now he has help. It's almost like, you know, get Michael Thomas some help with Jared Cook. You get a great player help, and it's even more greatness.
and they've got a star on each level of their defense. We've talked about DeMario Davis and what he's brought to the table, and we know what Marshawn Lattimore, when healthy, can do. But Von Bell and all those guys. So it's kind of similar to that Super Bowl 09 winning team.
It really is. There's a different star seemingly every week, but the one constant is Cam Jordan, DeMario Davis, and Lattimore when he's healthy. But even more so Jordan and Davis because they've been healthy. Both of those guys make big splash plays, and you saw it, you know, a couple weeks ago against Carolina where Cam Jordan had an uncharacteristic penalty after DeMario Davis sack. But that just kind of shows, you know, that those two guys are in tandem. That defense really gels. You got to give Dennis Allen a lot of credit. I mean, how many times has that defense gone to coordinators that just couldn't bring it all together? And I know they've drafted better and they've signed better free agents, but Dennis Allen has adjusted well, and we've seen it the last 3 years. So I see him being a head coach very soon. But right now, you're right. I mean, there's a lot of comparisons to the defense of 09. I think the only difference is the 09 defense had more takeaways and they scored more off the takeaways. Mm-hmm. But I think the talent is just as good in a lot of ways.
I'm with you, and I think they're peaking at the right time. When are teams going to start to double team if Michael Thomas and try and just take him out of the game, or is that even possible?
I don't think it matters. I think he is so great, he's going to get open. Didn't have his best game, though, last week against the Atlanta Falcons, where he did get a little bit of help. And frankly, Jared Cook needs to play better. Seems like once we start singing his praises, he kind of has a game like last week where, frankly, he could have scored twice, dropped one. And I thought it was going to kind of break that one on the sideline, but they caught him from behind. So I think Jared Cook is such a key to freeing up Michael Thomas. But you could double-team Michael Thomas all you want. Jordy, he's going to get his, and I know he was hard on himself after that game, wasn't happy with a rare drop, really his first one of the year, which, you know, we're here in December, and we're talking about his first drop of the year, which shows what kind of player he is.
Now, speaking of that, I don't want to jinx anything. Maybe I shouldn't even say it, but oh well. We don't fumble the football away, do we?
Really don't. I just think this team is so good. It's hard to find a weakness, and we could talk about getting Michael Thomas some help, but on defense, you really can't find a weakness. The kicking game is solid. Of course, you have Drew Brees in the running game, but they got to clean up the penalties. They just, you know, they're not making big, big mistakes turnover-wise, but the penalties are preventing them from, frankly, blowing teams out. And when you play a team like the Niners, you can't make these mistakes. I really feel like if they can cut those penalties in half, they win this game on Sunday. I think they're a better team. I love the fact they're at home, but they can't make mistakes anymore.
All right. Breeze is always the pulse of the team. You know him as well as anyone. How upbeat is he about this club at this time of the year?
Well, I think, you know, when he was hurt, Breeze has said over the last couple of years that he appreciates the game more the older he gets. I think that's been even accentuated more since his injury because he wasn't used to that. He wasn't used to watching a football game in Los Angeles while he's getting rehab. He wasn't used to sitting out for a month. That stuff makes you hungry. And frankly, he's more rested now, too. We're going to have a sit-down with him in studio, our yearly sit-down on Monday to watch our pregame shows on CST. We're going to go in depth on that and a whole bunch of other topics. But I'm interested to ask him, you know, how much better he feels now. And frankly, Jordy, you know, Drew is not going to admit this, but he can't throw downfield like he used to. But I think he's a smarter and better quarterback in other ways. 10 years later after the Super Bowl. So I want to ask him, you know, how that works too. So you can kind of take it two ways. But I think he has had good perspective on his career and his age the last couple of years. But I think, like I said, that's been accentuated with his injury.
And a coach who's in unison with him and understands what has happened through Father Time and doesn't ask him to do things that he's not capable of doing and yet is still very effective at the highest level of the NFL. It just works hand in hand.
It really does. I mean, you look at the game plan. I mean, back in 09 and 10 and 11, you see a lot of bombs from Drew Brees, a lot of throws downfield. You don't see that as much anymore, but the numbers are still there. The efficiency is still there. And I think that's why the mental part of the game, he may be, you know, he's much better than 09, I think. Maybe not much better, but there's, you know, the more you play, the more you learn. I mean, Tom Brady talks about it all the time that, you know, he goes out there now, it's just so much easier than in previous years. I mean, it's like anything else that we all do. You get better at your job the more you do it. And these guys play at such a high level you know, you get smarter and you get more confident. When you have that kind of ability, that's a pretty dangerous combination.
So summing up, your thoughts on the keys to the game for the Saints to win the thing. Limit penalties, correct?
Yeah.
What else?
And I think you have to have balance on offense. You got against this defensive line, you got to run the football and don't give up on it too early. You got to keep at it, And you know, we didn't see too much of Latavius Murray the last game, so I'd like to see more of him, complemented by Kamara, and please get Michael Thomas some help. Don't turn the ball over, cut down the penalties, and I think they win.
12 o'clock noon, Superdome will be rocking as always. Mike Nabors will be there with pregame activities. He'll certainly be there with postgame activities, always on Cox Sports Television. Mike, thank you. Enjoy the week, my friend.
Anytime, Jordy. Have a good one.
All right. There you go. That's brought to you by Peterbilt of Louisiana, with offices in Lafayette, in Baton Rouge, in Lake Charles, and also in New Orleans. They have the best of the best, and they've got the best service with certified mechanics for Cummins and PACCAR MX engines. They work on all makes and all models, and they have parts for all makes and all models as well. So if you're a truck driver, Peterbilt of Louisiana is where you need to go. We'll be back to wrap things up here on the Jordy Helpert Show. We welcome you back. What a fun day. What a gorgeous day outside, huh? Gee whiz. One thing for sure, the Tigers and the Saints don't have to worry about the weather this weekend. Coming up on Friday, we'll get the final word on our Football Friday edition from Chris Cozart on what the weather's going to be like in Boone, North Carolina. That's always something to be concerned about, something to think about. So a good day for Saints fans of the number one seed, a team that hasn't always looked like a number one seed the past few weeks. Now all of a sudden is a number one seed, and now it's up to them to hold on to it. Three teams are at 10-2, the Saints, the Packers, the Saints, the Niners, and the Seahawks. The Packers right there in the shadows at 9-3. So little wiggle room for error the rest of the way. Nothing of significance happened in the history books on this day, so we'll skip it. We'll go straight to our birthday wishes. If today is yours, man, I hope you have a great one. I really do. Happy, 71st birthday to Ozzy Osbourne. How about that? Who'd have thought that guy would be like a favorite dad after what he was like back in the day? You know, he's just transformed himself. How about that? Ozzy, 71 years old. If today's your anniversary, happy anniversary. I hope you keep adding year after year after year to it. So again, LSU basketball on the airwaves tonight, 8 o'clock tip. 7:30 pregame show right here on 103.7 The Game. Will Wade and company trying to get another win. And then Sunday they'll take on Northwestern State, and we're getting closer and closer to conference play. Special thanks to all of our guests, Chuck Dowdle for a preview on Georgia, Pierre Banks a preview on App State, Mark Schlesinger, the head coach of the UNO Privateers basketball team, previewing tonight's hoops game, and Mike Nabors of Cox Sports Television, talking about the New Orleans Saints. Thanks to CD for kind of putting it all together and making it sing. Thanks to all of you for listening, to our partners that make it possible each and every day. Have a great one. Until tomorrow, I'm Jordy Helfer. Stay thirsty, my friends. Stay thirsty.